My name is Brady Gaster. I work on the ASP.NET and Azure Tools team. Specifically, what I do is I work on the component of Visual Studio that allows you, as an Azure App Service developer, to push and manage your REST APIs, your web apps, your mobile apps, et cetera, et cetera. So whereas we have this huge swath of tooling in Azure where you can do Service Bus or DuckDB or all this good stuff, you really only want to talk to me when we're talking about specifically Azure App Service, so those four quadrants. I'm going to explain a little bit about Azure App Service today, and I have to apologize to the cameraman. I am indeed a pacer, so sorry. I'll try to go slow. So again, I'm Brady. I live in Redmond, et cetera, et cetera. Moving right along. So how many of you were partying in, and I use that expression a lot, party. It's one of my highly technical, politically correct terms. How many of you were partying in Azure when we had this awesome thing called Azure Websites? I was as well. I was actually one of the head evangelists for that product, and I really, really loved it. Worked with this gentleman to get his team trying it out at one point. So it's pretty cool. A lot of fun stuff. But what happened, it was like a long time ago in a cloud far, far away. We had these awesome products. Everything worked really well. We decided to shake things up a little bit and drop in this thing called Azure Websites. So we dropped in Azure Websites to make sure that all the ASP.NET guys had somewhere to push their code. Myself, all love to my colleagues in the compute team. I was never a big fan of this thing called the Cloud Project. How many of you know what I'm talking about, the worker in web role? It's like, I've got this ASP.NET app. I just want to push it to the cloud. I don't want to have to push it into one project and then push it. So we introduced websites, which actually gave you the ability to simply right-click publish. I remember sitting on the porch with my buddy Syed Hashimi. I work specifically with Syed Hashimi and Mads Christensen. Mads is on the front end. Syed does the publishing stuff, and then I'm everything after that in Azure. We actually have an alias. If you're curious about anything in the web tooling stack for Visual Studio, you can email us at the, very important, put the in there, thetoolingtrio@microsoft.com. That email will come to me because Mads and Syed have it going into their CC folder, but they'll eventually get it. On email, my email address is bradyg@microsoft.com. Feel free to get in touch with me whenever you want to talk about anything like app service and that kind of stuff. One of the things I always like to tell folks is that on your first day at Microsoft, they have this thing called new employee orientation. They have this one segment of new employee orientation where they talk about numbers, like how many versions of Office have we sold, how many versions of Windows are running, how many emails get sent every day from one @microsoft.com address to another Microsoft.com address. That number, 25 million. 25 million internal emails every day. I get about 40% of those emails. So if I don't get back to you right away, it's not that I don't love you like you or want to help you. It's that I'm probably trying to find the guy who can. So just want to point that out. Feel free to get in touch. Again, bradyg@microsoft.com. We're having all kinds of jumpy problems on the screen here. So is that a connection issue? Apologies. This part is out of my hands completely. So what we had was this thing called websites. And we heard from a lot of mobile devs that they wanted to do, that they wanted to do other stuff inside of Azure around mobile services. So it's just really not going to work out. So they added this thing called mobile services, and mobile services is actually built on top of the website stack. Are we resetting back there? Maybe if I get through this part, they'll have it all fixed up for us, and we'll be okay again. So we have this thing. There we go. So we had this thing called web apps, mobile apps, logic apps, and API apps. And in fact, what we did was we had web apps at the very bottom, and then mobile services was originally built on top of that. And then API apps was also built on top of the same stack that was web apps. Then we took logic apps, and we actually put logic apps on top of API apps, because API apps and logic apps use this fantastic technology that I'm going to talk to you a little bit about today called Swagger, to basically tell how things can go from one service to the next service. So that's good. Now, we liked all that so much that we decided to put it all into one big box, okay? So that's when we released, I think it was in March 2015, we released this thing called Azure App Service, and Azure App Service is now the entire thing all at one, okay? While he's trying to figure out what's going on here, I'll explain to you one of the reasons why we did that. In March 2015, we had this technology called API Apps Preview. And if you are not running on Azure SDK 2.9, if you maybe like a couple of versions back, you'll still see API Apps Classic in your publish dialog when you try to go to publish. As of 2.8.1, we unified everything in App Service in the tooling the same way we unified it in the portal, so that now you've really only got one button in the publish dialog, and that button is labeled App Service. So when you push to App Service, it just goes up. Now, during the preview timeframe for API Apps, one of the things that we had done is we created this thing called the API Apps Gateway. And that gateway had like a built-in SDK and runtime that basically allowed you to get to things like this concept called isolated storage, not the Windows isolated storage, but it was an isolated storage thing that was that sat on top of the API Apps file system in the cloud. And then we had a couple of other things like routing and version control and all that stuff. People began to get really confused about what this gateway was because it was actually a very small web app that just did a lot of the routing and the internals of everything. Customers were confused because they would create an API app and they would see that gateway show up. They would see the gateway show up in the Server Explorer, and then they would do something like delete it. And if they delete it, now all their API apps would just stop working. Okay, so we realized that's probably not a good idea to have that thing. But a lot of the features that we got for, it's my Cub Scout mom's birthday today, a lot of the features that we got from that gateway we knew we needed to have as a core component of the overall app service implementation. So what we did was we took those components and we elevated them up to the overall app service stuff. If I could show you the portal, what you'd see in the portal is that we gave you the ability to do things like cores, and we give the ability to see and set what's called the API definition document. And what that basically amounts to is a Swagger URL that you can go to and get Swagger description of your web API endpoint. So we got through all this. Sorry about that. But what I want to do now is really just dive right in. There's that slide. So we're just going to dive right in. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to grab my mouse and bring it up here. And I want to open up my browser. And I'm going to flip over here. I'm going to set up my switch person. I want to show you this great trick that I learned. Anybody use Chrome? I'm not going to be offended. They have this awesome thing where you can do switch people. You can like have different profiles for your Chrome. Well, this profile is my Hotmail profile. This is my corporate profile. Now I can log into Azure with either one of my profiles at the same time, and I don't have to log out and log back in. Is that not awesome or what? You probably already knew about it though, didn't you? It's a new trick for me. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go over here to portal.azure.com. Now IT's barking at me, that's great. About icons, no less. Just an update from my driver, great. So this is gonna go ahead and open up the portal, but what I'm gonna do is I'm also gonna open up Visual Studio, specifically Community 2015. I run Community, I do run the free version. Dang it. Show of hands for dark theme. Show of hands for light theme. Dark wins, sorry guys. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to flip over to my Server Explorer, and quite frankly, where we really want to put a lot of our attention in the future is going to be into the Cloud Explorer. So we'll eventually be moving a lot of the stuff that I'm going to show you today in the Cloud Explorer. We haven't gotten there yet. I work very closely with the Cloud Explorer team, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you something from within Server Explorer. Now, how many of you have ever built a multi-tier app where you've got a web app that communicates with a REST API, and you've got a mobile app, a web app that communicate with the REST API, and you also might have some sort of native apps that just directly communicate with that REST API. How many of you have built a solution like this in the past? Yeah, I thought so. That's why you're here, right? So what we've done in the most recent implementation of the tools, if I can refresh here, refreshing all my stuff, there we go, is I'm going to go ahead and right-click this guy and say create new app service. Killing me. Ugh. 3,000 miles. All for this. It's great. I will not be offended if you leave. I apologize. Dang. That's a joke.
I've got one more thing I can try.
Great. Please do. So what we've done in this dialogue, this is a new, what we did in probably the fall of last year, at the around the same time that we got App Service sort of landing and we got all the stuff unified, was we completely overhauled all the stuff in the App Service tools. Up until the point where we did that overhaul, we were really focused on just websites and web apps. But since App Service had unified and become this entire beast, we wanted to unify the tooling to sort of represent what we'd done inside of App Service. Cool, thanks, man. I'm not blaming you. Give him a hand. He's helping. Thanks. And give me a hand for not panicking and throwing up all over the stage. Okay. So what I did was I right-click my app service node, and I said create new app service. And what you'll see right here is that I've got this guy popped open. I'm going to zoom in just a little bit. Oh, that could be really bad for the display. But what I want to show you is a couple of different things. The first one is this hosting tab that we have right here. The second one is the services tab that I just wrote through. All the stuff in this section is basically the exact same stuff that you used to see in the old provisioning dialog, where you have to provide your resource group, your app service plan, and all that goodness. But what we did, I'm gonna have to kill my friend Sarah. What we decided to do was we added to this guy over here this services tab. And on the services tab, what we've done is we've escalated the ability for you to create a SQL Server database, which is exactly what we had given you the functionality for before. But my good friend, Ryan Crocker, and I've been picked on from name dropping during these talks. The reason that I'm name dropping is so you know how to find these people when their stuff breaks, okay? So Ryan Crocker, who was my friend in the DocDB team, and Ryan called me up and he goes, hey, we really like how you guys have lit up the ability to create and provision a SQL Server database along with the web app whenever somebody goes through the published experience, but what we'd really like to see is DocDB in there too. And I said what your mom probably said to you when, you know, there were toys involved. Ryan, if I do it for you, I gotta do it for them, I gotta do it for Redis, like everybody's gonna be there. And that's a really good idea. We should totally do this. So what we did, we overhauled this tooling completely so that now everything you see in this segment right here is extensible. So the SQL guys could take their extension, modify it, tweak it, push it to the extensions gallery, and if you have their stuff installed, it would just update. You know what that means for you? You don't have to reinstall the Azure SDK or Visual Studio. You just update your extensions. Think that's better than having to ship VS? Trust me, it is a beast to ship VS. What we've also done in 2.9 actually, was we gave you the ability to create yet a second app service along with whatever you were gonna create. So the first thing that I'm gonna do here is I'm just gonna create some basic API. We're not going to do a lot with it here. I'm going to go, actually, I'll go ahead and do my to-do sample. To-do list API. Put that right there. I'm going to create a new resource group. Actually, I'm going to select an existing one. I've already got one created, my devint RESTful. And I've already got a plan. I'm going to create a new plan. Create a new plan out here. I'll put this in East US, which is also where I am. One other thing that we used to hear from customers all the time was whenever you create my websites or my web apps for me inside of ES, it's great that you make an assumption that I want that to be free and that you create a free app service plan. I applaud that. That's awesome. But then if I want to do things like add a domain or add SSL, I have to go to the portal and I have to change my app service plan. It would be really good if you gave me the ability to create a S1, standard, standard 2, P1, et cetera, directly from within the tooling. So we did. So now you can actually go ahead and create your app service plan right out of the gate. Now you see what I've done here is I've created this app service plan, and we're also given the ability to change the type. So this first one that I want is gonna be an API app, but at the same time, I know that I'm gonna have a web app that's gonna communicate with this REST API. I'm also gonna build some client apps to do it too. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna flip over here to services, and go to all, and then do a new app service, and I'll call this my to-do list spa. I'm gonna put that into the same plan, and I'm actually gonna make that a web app, so I'm cool there. I'll click OK, and now I've got all this stuff. Has anybody heard of Azure Resource Manager templates? You guys know what I'm talking about when I say these things? Okay, so what that is a huge JSON document with all kinds of stuff about how your individual resources are going to be created. They are daunting to create. So what we did was we actually gave users an export button right here. Let me zoom in on it because nobody knows it's there. Trust me, the telemetry says so. And there's an export button, and if you click that export button, everything that you have in your Azure shopping cart right here is going to be dumped to one of those ARM JSON files. And then whenever you want to, I don't know, create a dev environment, a staging environment, a prod environment, you can just rerun that template using PowerShell or the Crossplat tools. You can rerun that, change a couple of parameters in the parameters file. Boom, you've got a new environment that replicated that first topology. Does that sound good for DevOps? You guys like that idea? All right, I'm not going to do that today. We're not going to go deep into ARM because we want to talk about REST APIs. So I'm going to go ahead and hit create. And this is going to go out, it's going to create an API app for me, then it's going to create a web app for me, then it's just going to go away because I don't actually have a project open. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to open up an existing project that I have and we're going to publish into the stuff that I'm creating right here. Now, I want to point out that you could do that all from within one quick publishing gesture. I remember the day that Syed Hashimi told me, he goes, today I killed off the web application deployment project type. It's like, how'd you do that? He goes, I added a right-click publish gesture. Who knew? Fantastic idea. All right, so you can see that I've already created this stuff. If I were to refresh right here, you'll see that I have my new, I guess that's it? Is that not it? Oh, well, doesn't matter. I'll go up here, log into my portal. I want to go over here to my resource groups, and I'm going to show you really quickly that I've got this Devint RESTful resource group, and sitting next to it, I have my API. Is that the one I wanted? Let me refresh it here. Is that the one I wanted? I guess that's weird. Screw it. It's kind of unfortunate. So I've got all this stuff. Now, what I'm going to show you here is I'm actually going to go out and show you some of these features that we have over in the side. Now, this was one of the things before when we had this concept called the API App Gateway. People had to click through numerous blades, right, for, like ad nauseum, to find all this stuff. So what we did, like I said, was we elevated the features of that, gateway up into the overall app service architecture. And now a lot of the settings that you would need for any type of a REST API are over on the right-hand side. So if I go over here, you'll see two in question, my favorite two, if I can zoom in the right way. So I'm right here. Let me zoom in on this guy. So you'll see that I have this API definition and cores segments right here. Those are going to appear on any web API or mobile app service that you publish up into Azure. We've basically taken all the features that people really liked about API apps and escalated them. Why is that? You may have already created a web API project 2 years ago and have it running as what used to be a website but is now a web app, and you want to party on some of these features that we've added like cores and API definition. We don't want to make you create another resource, publish your code into yet another resource, and if you've got a DNS, move your DNS. Uh-uh. You're not going to want to do all that stuff. So we just took all those features and we elevated them all up for you. The first one is cores, which we're going to get to here in the next demo. And then the next one is this concept of an API definition, which I'm going to explain very, very, very low level today, if time permits, because of our issues with the projection. What time am I done? One? Is that what the clock says? Go to one? Okay, cool. Thank you. Hopefully we'll get through everything. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is go ahead and open up a project that I've got. I'll just go ahead and do a new one. So I'll do file, new project real quick. And I want to show you how to get started. So I'll call this guy some basic API. We'll put this guy right here and click OK. Now what we've done is we've actually given you a specific project template. It's this guy right here, the Azure API app template. Now I want to point out what that is. That's effectively the same thing as if you were to click this and this. And add a nice NuGet package known as Swashbuckle. Has anybody heard of Swashbuckle? Has anybody heard of Swagger? Cool, cool. Has anybody out there heard of SOAP? Not the kind you wash with. Simple Object Access Protocol. SOAP was written in a type of XML called WSDL, Web Service Description Language. You can kind of think about Swagger as a way to describe REST endpoints in much the same way that WSDL described SOAP endpoints. I like what my buddy Mads Christensen says. He has a great quote. He says, soap was great because of the tooling. REST APIs are great in spite of the tooling. Does that make sense? Because you don't have the ability to easily consume a REST API. Well, you do now. I'm going to show you how you do that. That's all with this API definition stuff. You'll see here that I've already laid down my project. I'm going to show you what we've got. It's pretty basic. It's got my little values controller right here. Nothing big on it. But what we've done is we've taken advantage of the, is the font big enough for everybody? Anyone not be able to see the font? Okay, cool. What we've done is in our new API app template, we've actually taken advantage of the Swagger, the swashbuckle annotations, and we just decorate all these different methods to kind of get you started to show you what you would use these things for. Now, there's this concept in Swagger called an operation ID, and an operation ID is just a way that you can identify a specific REST endpoint. And the interesting thing about that operation ID, which sort of blew up my team for a while, is that it is not required by Swagger, okay? If you use it, however, you are absolutely required to make sure that every single operation ID is specific, is independent. So you can't have get over here and get over there. Things just get really ugly really quickly and you won't be able to do anything with it. So what we've done is we've used the swashbuckle annotations to actually decorate these operations for you so that you can kind of see, you know, sort of guidance. We just want to show you how you could do this stuff in the future if you wanted to actually, come up with more stuff. The other thing that we've done in here is we've given you this swaggerconfig.cs file. Now, swaggerconfig.cs is one of the files that gets laid down when you install the swashbuckle NuGet package. It's not anything that we give you. That just comes with the package for free. Swashbuckle is a completely open source project. The guy who wrote it has been working with the web API team pretty deeply to get it written also for ASP.NET Core. I'm going to try and show you a sample of that today. How many of you would like to see a sample with ASP.NET Core, or is it not that important and you just want me to focus on the APIs? First question, how many want to see it with Core? Okay, that's kind of a small number, so I'm going to push that to the end. Okay, so we can do this with Core later on, but it's sort of involved and I want to show you how to do it. All the code is going to be online on GitHub. I'll tweet out my link here later on today. But it'll all be out there. Now, what's nice is that this swaggerconfig.cs file, if any of you, like me, really like SignalR, what you'll see is that, just like the SignalR guys, this config file is heavily decorated with comments showing you each individual part of the swashbuckle fluent configuration stuff and how you would use each one in your own code. Now, one of the things that's really nice about this, here's one that I love, include XML comments. I'll see if we can get to that. What that'll do is if you have / comments in your web API controllers and you're outputting an XML file, Swashbuckle will actually go through, find all the documentation for all the different properties on your objects and your action methods, and it will bubble those up in the Swagger UI, which I'm getting ready to show you, so that you have automatically documented API start pages. So that, you know, your users can come and they can look at your page and they can go, oh, I know how this API works. Boom. I can start partying on it. It's a lot easier. But we have a really persnickety security guy on our team. I got to pick on him. He's one of my buddies. You may know him on Twitter as Bloatart. His name is Barry Dorans. Okay, Barry Dorans saw this code and he said, so let me get this right. A user is going to create this template or a project using this template, and by default, the Swagger UI is turned on. The Swagger UI not only documents the individual methods for the REST API, but it gives you a test harness for every single one of them. What do you think is going to happen if somebody pushes this to production and they've got the Swagger UI turned on? I was like, yeah, I can see the concern there. And he goes, turn it off. That's all he said, turn it off. Can't ship until you turn it off. So we turn it off. The reason I tell you that story is to drive the point home that if you try this out and you don't see the pretty Swagger UI, you got to go in there and turn it back on, okay? If we didn't do that, whenever you push your stuff to Azure, people would be able to hit that UI and they'd be able to test your API. So just be careful. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and save this stuff, and I'm just going to go ahead and hit F5 real quick. And what's going to happen is a horrific, terrible experience. The first thing you're going to see is a 404. The reason you're going to see a 404 is I decided, so blame me for this, I decided that I wanted this template to operate exactly the same way that the empty plus web API template operates. My personal feeling about REST APIs is you don't need any HTML. So I didn't give you an index HTML page here to show you what everything is. If you guys think you need that, feel free to email me, feel free to submit a bug, and we'll see if we can get something in there. But we have tried ad nauseum to come up with something that was kind of nice, and we figured if we had an Angular client, which is what I'm going to show you today, somebody would yell that they wanted a jQuery client. If we use a jQuery client, somebody's going to yell that we didn't have a, you know, Angular client. So we decided we'll just let you do your thing. Okay, so how many of you think that's a good decision? Okay, how many of you want some sort of a page to show you what to do next? Okay, that's good feedback. Here's the other thing I threw out to the team, that we make this the start page, so that when you hit F5, you would actually go directly to your Swagger UI. Now, this is a fantastic little UI. How many of you, showing my age here, remember the days during Web API 1, and we had this like help page, NuGet, that you could install, and it put files everywhere. You couldn't figure out what to do to customize it. It was pretty awful. I like that thing a lot. I like this a lot better. A, because it's Swagger, so all the Ruby guys and the Java guys and the Scala guys, they can speak your language. We've gotten a lot of good press about this for harnessing Swagger. We're actually members of the Swagger working group. So when I hit try it out, you'll see that I've already hit my API. If I wanted to do a post, obviously I'm not saving any data, but you would see that I could actually post a string up and it would hit my API. If I wanted to get a one, this one right here, I can just say one, try it out, and then you see value. Now what else is nice is that it generates all of this, dang it. The only thing I don't like about these profiles is it also, it won't carry your extensions from profile to profile. So I've got the JSON colorizer in this profile. I don't have it in the other one, so I have to open it up in the window that has it. Or I have to open it up in Edge, which now will actually render JSON. Isn't that awesome? So, all right, so I'm going to zoom in here, and you're just going to see that this is pretty basic JSON. It just shows you, here's my get. This is my operation ID, get all. It's going to do this, it's going to do that. It's going to have a couple of responses. One thing I want to point out in here, you'll see that I've got a Swagger response of OK and a Swagger response of not found. Here's why we do that. There's a code generator that we use. It's a command line code generator that will spit out Node, Go, Ruby, Java, C#, TypeScript, and eventually it's going to spit out some sort of client-side JavaScript. It's called AutoREST, and it's completely open source as well. That was the first team that I PM'd at Microsoft. And I'll pull up the GitHub URL for that for you real quick so you can find it. It's github.com/azure/autorest. You'll see here that this is the AutoREST guy. It's available in Chocolaty, and you can actually do a Choco install on it, and you can basically hit a Swagger endpoint and generate stuff and party on it. This is actually a tool that our internal partners are using end-to-end to create not only their APIs, but their SDKs. Could talk a little bit more about that later. If you guys want to hear kind of what that process looks like, but I don't want to use the AV time. But I do want to point out AutoREST is here. We actually took the AutoREST assemblies and we put them into VS. The Mads quote that I threw out earlier that REST APIs are awesome in spite of the tooling, I made it a mission in life to fix that problem, and I'm going to show you how we have. We'll get to that just in a minute. But this is basically what your Swagger is going to end up looking like. I do want to show that to you. And if you're interested in learning more about Swagger, you can go to swagger.io. Now, they've changed the name because Swagger wasn't such an awesome name. Now it's actually called the Open API Initiative. You guys like that better? You like Swagger better? Yeah, I lost that fight too. So. But yeah, it's there. So I do want to point out that all that stuff is there for you. So I'm going to go ahead and hit stop right here. And now that I've created this pretty simple guy, what I want to do next is, I think I want to go back to my deck real quick, show you this. Yeah, let's go ahead and do some consumption. So I'm going to go ahead and close this guy down and switch gears. I want to open up VS one more time and get into something a little bit more real world. So I have this, new thing I'm going to be doing pretty soon. Today I am a PM. Tomorrow I'm going to be a PM as well. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be a PM on a different team. One of the things that has plagued me since I've been at Microsoft is the state of our documentation. I think we can all agree that we have some opportunities. Is that a good way to put that? So I'm going to be going over and I'm going to be helping out with the documentation side, helping out some of my buddies pretty soon. I haven't announced that yet, so you guys are first to hear it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm still going to be very, very close to the ASP.NET team. They're going to be my primary partner. It's kind of like I'm going over there and I'm going to be working more for them than I already am. It's kind of weird. But what I've done is I've created this little sample called Code Parrot. And I've got a lot further to go with it because I argued with Vittorio for about 10 hours over the identity components and I decided to rip it out for this demo. He's right, I'm wrong, I don't really know AED as well as I need to. I'm trying to learn and I'm picking this guy's brain and picking Brock's brain and really trying to get better at it, but I'm not quite there yet. So what I'm gonna show you today is gonna be like sans off until the very end. But what I wanna show you is how you would basically write an AngularJS1 client to communicate back and forth with a REST API. I haven't gotten into Angular 2 yet. After talking to Ward, I feel kind of guilty about that. But I've got two projects in here. One of them is a Code Parrot SPA, and one of them is a Code Parrot API. Now, all this API does, I'm going to pull it up here for you. I've got this code controller. I'm just going to kind of shrink the code down and just show you kind of the basics of it. So I've got a couple of services. One of them is a tag search service. One of them is a data storage service. Today, I'm just storing things on the file system. Tomorrow, I'll probably want to store them as Azure blobs. So I just wanted to go ahead and make this pretty flexible and, you know, get my at least my service, my IOC stuff working in my web API. So I'm not going to waste your time there. You guys know the basics of IOC. It's beyond the scope of this conversation. So I'll leave that alone. But I've got one method here called search. I've got one method called get tags. And the idea behind this API is that I'm going to have a pretty UI, pretty for me. I'm going to have a pretty UI where the user is going to be able to like type in tags. And based on what tags they have, we're going to go out and we're going to get code samples and bring them back. I'll show you the inspiration for this if you haven't already seen it. Bing has this really awesome search feature that you can do now. I'll go out here. And I'm really going to do, quickly going to say C# bubble sort. Oh, let me do it like this. Look here. Isn't that neat? So they partnered with this company called HackerRank to do this stuff, and I could do C# reverse sort. Oh, well. Reverse array. Pardon me. And then there's this, and if I want to change it, I can actually change it over here and make it Python or PHP or C. So I thought that was kind of a neat feature, and I was like, I'm going to use this as like a new demo. I'm going to build something. Because we have some ideas on how we could use this kind of stuff for docs. So let your mind wander there. Okay. So what I've done is I've created this sample little API app that I've got right here. And then I've got, it's a core app. So if I were going to startup, you'll see that I'm really just doing everything static. I'm just using Node and Bower packages along with some Angular goodness to actually render stuff. So if I were to go into here, and we'll get into that in a minute. But what I'm going to do first is I'm going to go ahead and right-click this Code Parrot API, and I'm going to delete my published profile. I'm going to right-click this guy and select Publish, and I'll select Azure App Service. And what's nice is we've also tweaked this this dialog so that if I want to define stuff, I can just type API. And it'll actually go ahead and search all my resources so that I can get to stuff easily. We just wanted to make it dirt simple for you to be able to find stuff in your Azure subscription and then party on it later. So I'm just going to go ahead and click on New. I'm going to call this guy Code Parrot API. I want to create a new resource group. Code Parrot Resources. And I'm going to do one more of these. Code Parrot Plan, that's fine. Put this in internet. Come on. Come on, internet. I already have that. There we go. East US. I'll click on free here. And I'll go ahead and do a create. And what that's going to do is it's just going to go ahead, reach out to the fabric, create my API app for me, download a publishing profile, and then I'll actually be able to publish my API app up to the cloud. And we're going to do some more stuff with it here in a second. So how many of you have used Angular or jQuery or some sort of JavaScript to reach out and communicate with an API backend? And you know what I mean when I say cores. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say cores? Okay. How many of you have used the Web API cores functionality that my good buddy Brock Allen implemented and contributed to the team? Okay. Is Brock here? I haven't seen him. I'm so glad Brock's not here. Because he's so much better at this than me. I'm going to go to settings. I don't have anything specific. Really quickly go and do a next and then a publish. So that's actually going to push my API app out to the cloud. And then I'm going to show you how we're going to communicate with this thing using AngularJS and HTML. While that's publishing, I'll go ahead and jump in. Once the publish has happened, it's going to spawn a browser for me and I'll have to flip back. But we'll get to that when we get to it. Again, this sample is also out on GitHub. If I were to go up to GitHub, oh, great. Lovely. If I were to go out here, github.com/BradyGaster. That's where I've got that CodeParrot guy running. Open up VS one more time. Sorry about that. Today is just a bug day. Did I get my published profile? I think I did. I admit I am not using a Franken build, but I do have some interesting stuff installed. So, do this. Okay. Load. There we go. Properties. There we go. So I'm going to right-click this guy and say publish. And I'm going to delete everything. Sorry. There we go. Maybe this will fly. That looks better. I won't touch it. Has anybody used the API apps template yet? Played with it at all? Just tinkered around? How many of you are super excited to do so after this talk? Okay, gosh. He's like, yeah, sorry. So you'll see that I've actually gone out and hit this guy. I don't have access to hit the page. Of course I don't. We actually do this. And then there's our, I've gotten my tags back. So you can see that my API is indeed working. So that's all good to go. And now what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually do this real quick and copy out my stuff here. Okay. And flip back over. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my source over here. You'll see that I've got my www root. I'm just going to simply open up index.html. And what you'll see in here is that I have a series of just some simple HTML elements and whatnot. And you'll see that I'm also pulling in Angular. And then I've got all my independent scripts over here. So if I were to open this up, go into my scripts, you'll see that here's my app.js. And I have to change this base URL. So I'm just going to go ahead and comment this guy out, turn this one on, and paste this thing in right here, and you'll see that now I'm ready to go. Now, at this point, what I'm doing, this is my app, and whenever somebody goes to the search, I'm just going to show a simple text box where they can actually search everything, and the first thing that I do as soon as the search view loads is I go out and I grab all the tags. So I just grab all the tags and I stuff them into a local array in the browser. I could show you this right here. So here's my get tags method. Just pull that stuff out. And then I've got all my controllers in one place. You can see that once I get my tags, I just set my scopes tags property equal to whatever I got back from the API. And then I can actually use those tags in my GUI later on. So with that project selected, I'm going to go ahead and click Control F5 to open up my browser in non-debug mode. So there's no reason for me to debug at this point. You hit 0 here. If I do an F12, that's OK. I don't have a fav icon. I'm going to click on Search. And let me see if I get my error. Browser caching. Cool. So there you go. I'm actually reaching out and I'm talking to this stuff. So I guess what I had done is I'd actually left my, I want to make sure that I'm hitting the right guy. I am hitting search. So that's actually going out and that's hitting my search. So that's good. Now, if I were to go over here, interesting. That's not what I mean. If I were to go into my portal here, let me go to my resource groups. And if I were to go right here to CodeParrot resources, and I would go to my CodeParrot API, and if I were to go over in my settings over here to cores, see that I've got allowed origins. I don't have any, so it seems weird that that would actually make that request. Maybe there's some sort of a browser cache going on. Let me open this guy up, do it in here. Console, yep. Apparently I can hit it. What you can see is that I can actually just go ahead and I can tab through these guys, and what it'll do is it'll pull in this stuff and allow me the ability to do this. Now, if for whatever reason, this did what I expected it to do, and that was deny me access to this API because I was actually coming in from a unsafe site, what I would expect that I would need to do is to go into, not there, expect to go in here, and basically put that as one of my guys and hit save. And at that point, I'd be able to access it from that individual URL. Interesting bug that it let me through. I've created quite a few of these, so could have some caching going on. I'm not exactly sure. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to right-click this guy and select publish because I want to push him up as well. Before I do, I want to delete his published profile because that was one of my other attempts. I'll push this guy up, and I'll do app service. Real quickly say new. I'm going to select my existing CodeParrot resources guy, and I'll call this CodeParrot Spa App 01. And I want to put this into my CodeParrot app service plan. I just hit create. And then it's going to download my publish profile one more time. I'm going to be able to publish everything up. But I'm actually going to stop this process right about, I guess I don't need to. I can leave it alone because I've already got the URL right in there. So there we go. That's all come down and that's all good. Make sure I don't have anything weird here. Nope, I don't. I'll quickly do a publish. That'll actually go ahead and publish that guy up for me as well. And once it loads up in the browser, I'm hoping that it will deny me access and I can show you the way this is supposed to work, or the way this demo is supposed to work. Any questions up to this point? Anybody? Pardon me? Thank you for saying that. That's exactly why this thing allowed me access. Because I have done exactly as you said. This guy right here. So if I were to disable that, then it wouldn't let me through on that first hit. So yeah. Is there a way to do the core stuff programmatically? Yes, you can import the, you can install the Web API cores package. And then you can actually control everything directly from within your C# code. But one of the reasons we elevated that and made that a part of the portal is so you don't have to go into that code. You can do everything in the portal. So if tomorrow you have a new site that wants to access your API, you can just simply go to the portal, add that site, rather than download your code, change your code, put your code through release management, da 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 da. See what I'm saying? Well, that's what the portal is allowing you to do. So, like, if a non-engineer can go to the portal and add it. Okay. What you'd want to do at that point, I think what you're asking for is you would want to write an app that you would give to, Joe, and Joe would click a button whenever he wanted to add a new thing without having to go to the portal, without having to tweak the code. If you wanted to do that, what you'd end up doing is you would make management plane calls to Azure. So you would either use the management libraries for Azure, or you would use PowerShell, or you would use one of the ARM template editors, and that kind of thing. You would basically add the different domains that you want to give access to in your ARM template, and then ship your ARM template up to Azure. You'd be able to do that. It sounds more complicated, definitely, than it is. You could probably do it with a PowerShell script. Because we've got the PowerShell management libraries, you can do that stuff. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. There are a lot of options for managing your Azure stuff. We're trying to put more and more of them into VS, obviously, so that devs have that kind of access. Did my site publish? Did it publish? No errors. Oh, I see. So it's taking a second or two longer to publish than I expected because I've got all those Bower components and Node modules, even though those are omitted from the publish exercise. For whatever reason, it does tend to take publish a second or two longer. Once this is done, I'm going to show you how to set up the core stuff and how you'd be able to consume it using HTML. If it doesn't publish quickly, I'll go ahead and jump forward and show you some other stuff that I want to show you around AutoREST. This is taking its sweet time. So what I'm going to do here, shrink everything down today. While that's going, I'm going to go ahead and open up this other project that I have. There we go. So now the CodePirate app01.azurewebsites.net is going to load up. That's the SPA that I just published. I already hit F12 right here and go to the console, which you should see happen whenever it renders. I don't have a fav icon. How many of you sit in this window a lot and you hate seeing the fav icon over and over and over again? We should just put it into the template, shouldn't we? All right. So I'll click search for code, and I don't think it's going to. There you go. So this says it's exactly what I had expected to happen earlier, but I'd overridden it with my code. It's basically telling me that you don't have access to this because, you know, cores and stuff. And it won't let me scroll over any further. It's just AV hell for me today. So what I'll do real quickly is I'll copy out this URL. I'm going to go over here and paste it in, remove the trailing slash, hit save one more time. And if I go back over to this guy and hit F5, what you should see is that that REST API call actually does not result in an error, and as a result, now I can actually search my tags. So first option is programmatically. You can go into your web API code whenever you want to give a different site access to your stuff, follow your release management process, and if you work in a company as big as Microsoft, that can take weeks. Or you can just go to the portal and add your core stuff. Anybody like option B better? Does that make more sense? Okay, cool. Now the next thing I'm going to show you real quickly is I want to go over here to this API definition, and what you'll see is that we have this pre-formatted URL here. Shrink this down since Snagit only wants me to go out so far to the right. I'm going to zoom in on it, and you'll see that it's that Swagger URI that I showed you earlier. It's exactly how to get to that Swagger JSON. Now, what we did around AutoREST was we gave AutoREST the capability of consuming Swagger JSON and then generating code into all those different formats. We have different flavors. We have more coming all the time. If there is a language for which you'd like to have a flavor, I want to remind you that AutoREST is an open source project. The templates to generate the code are actually written in Razor. So if you're familiar with Razor syntax, you could actually go out there and you could write your R sharp or, you know, whatever template you want to have. You know, if you want a Lisp Swagger client, you could go out and you could do that. That would be really odd. But I don't know why I came up with Lisp. I usually say boo, as if that's not odd. So if I were to take this URL and copy it out, you'll see that there's our Swagger JSON for this individual, for the CodePirate API. Hit this guy one more time, right there. You'll see that my operation IDs are all independent because I've used the attributes. Let me zoom in a little bit. So I've got search there, and then I've got code, which is basically just going to give me the ability to pull down my tags. And then there's save, so all my operation IDs are indeed separate. And just like with WSDL, you'll see if you go all the way down to the bottom, all the schema for all the individual objects that you have in your REST API landscape are all going to be there at one time. AutoREST knows how to take all that stuff and generate it into strongly typed classes. So I'm going to show you what that looks like right now. So if I were to go over to here to this to-do list guy, what you'll see, I don't want to do it here. No, I'll keep going. I'll live on the edge, because today has not been troublesome enough already. I'm just going to go ahead and close all this stuff down. Now, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to right-click my project, and I'm going to say I want to add a new project. And I'm going to keep this dirt simple based on today's history. I want to select Windows, and I'm going to go ahead and do a console application. And we'll call this CodePirate Tag Search. Why not do tag search? Now, what we've done is we've given you the ability directly from within your project. Now, it's kind of buried. I do want to stress that. We're trying to figure out a way that we can elevate it. We're contemplating putting it into this window called Connected Services. Show of hands. How many of you know what I mean when I say Connected Services in Visual Studio? That is just so incredibly sad. So incredibly sad. It's not my team, but it's still set. But what I'm going to show you here is if I right-click my project and I go to Add, see right here you've got REST API Client. I'm going to click that guy, and the first thing you'll see is that you've got the Swagger URL. So I'm going to do Control 4. You've got the Swagger URL, so I could actually type in the URL if I wanted to. Why that's valuable is if my buddy Chris and I are working on the network together, which I just thought of the implications of that. We'd have to have a massive VPN because we live on opposite sides of the world. So if we had, if we were working on a project together, he might be writing the web API side, whereas or the node side or whatever side because it's just Swagger, it doesn't matter, and I might be writing my own client. We didn't want to isolate this just to Azure, but that's kind of how we got started with this stuff was, you know, as you know, part of Azure. So we've got this Select Azure Asset button, which is going to make it super dirt simple for you to find everything. On the flip side, if you don't have a network between you, and Chris, for whatever reason, is working on the web API side, and he wants to get me the Swagger JSON so that I can start writing my client, he could actually just email me the file, and I could click the Browse button down at the bottom and just browse to the local file, and everything would work. So that's good stuff. So I'll go, pardon? Thank you for asking that, and if I'm blushing, I apologize, because you've proved my point for me. We hid that feature so terribly. It's a long story. It's been in there since November. Been there since November. You guys never seen this? Crazy. Now you have. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies. So I'm going to do Select Azure Asset, and I know that I've got a Code Parrot API out there. I'm going to go ahead and click OK, and I'm just going to leave that alone. Leave that as that guy. That's going to download everything. Bam! Now I've got a client. So what I'll do now, is you'll see that we put it all right here. Now in the future, we've been in these long conversations about how to do this. Now in the past, we had this concept of a disco file. You guys remember that hell? You had a references and then disco and service references and blah, 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 and then there was just code spewed into some random place. We heard from our customers that people just want to drop the code into the project so that you can go and you can look at the code in the project. Don't want to manually tweak the code in the project. If you change your API, you just want to delete and regen. We don't have this as a reentrant thing yet. We don't have update. We're getting there. But the idea behind it is people just wanted it to go there. Now, there's currently a discussion on the table that we're going to create another one of those special folders called services, and we put the stuff in there. How many of you like it just dropped into your solution? How many of you like a special place? Okay, that's fair. I can see both sides of that. I can argue both sides of that all day. So what I'll do here, real quickly, I'm just going to do a quick little console.readline. Do this, and I'll do console.writeline finish. There. And now, so you see that I've got this stuff over here. So I've got Code Parrot API. I'll say Code Parrot API, API equal new, Code Parrot API. And you'll see that I have a couple of different parameters, construction parameters. I'm going to try to show you what those guys are. We're almost out of time. But if you want to leave at 1 and go eat, I'm not going to be mad. If you want to stay around, we'll be here 10 more minutes. So just skedaddle if you want to. So you'll see that we've got a couple of different parameters that we can throw in here. One of them is a series of what's called delegating handlers. A delegating handler is one of those things that will basically impact the HTTP process. So if you want to jam a header onto every single request, or you want to do an auth on every single request, you could just create a delegating handler inheritor, and you could just insert it there. I'm going to show you that when we get to API management here momentarily. At the same time, remember how I told you how I would send Chris my Swagger JSON file? Well, the URL is going to be localhost dot blah, 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 blah. And if he pushes it out to Azure, I'm not going to be able to access it on localhost dot blah, 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 because that's just plain silly, right? So we also give you the ability of changing the base URI. So today, I'm hitting Chris's machine on the network. Next week, he publishes it out to Azure, and the only thing I have to do is change the base URI parameter in here, and now I'm going out to that guy. At the end of the day, it's just an interface. As long as you don't change that interface, then the client won't work anymore. Everything should be just fine. If you ever work with Chris, you should know he does change his interfaces pretty frequently. Just saying. I don't need to do that because I've already got this stuff right here. So I'm just going to say API dot code. I think it was called code. What was it? Tags. And I'll do, where was it? Where'd it go? Just say tags. Yeah, that's it. It says tags. So I could just go right here and I could say var tags is equal to this. And if I were to go tags, where did it go? What is this guy? I think it's a string. It's just an object. I guess I didn't get anything good there. But what you can see is that we basically give you all these fantastic things. Let me look and see what the structure of tags is. I guess I didn't do it that well there. What I'll do is I'll show you the to-do list, because that one will definitely work. But you can see that we're actually generating the code here. And this guy, this is actually a to-do list API where I have the set of controllers, and it's really just a simple to-do list controller. And I've done the same thing. I've generated my code right here. And if I were to pop open this thing, what you could see that if I want to get my tags, my to-dos, all I have to do is say my new to-do list client dot get all, and it's going to bring back that stuff, and I'll be able to just iterate through all my to-dos if I want to. So there's that. I'm trying to figure out what that, since I've given all my names, special names here, I want to do tags code. I'll do search. Let's do search real quick. I'll say api.search. That'll work. And I'll say new. Oh. Dang it. Shoot. And I could say tags, and that's going to be an array. And I'll just say new. I'll do it like this. I'll say var tags is equal to new list string. I could say tags.add. We'll say arrays. I'll do this. And then right here, I'll just say tags. And then I'll get back something. Var result is equal to this. I should see result. Of course, I'm not getting any inference for whatever reason. I'm not getting any type inference. I don't know what I've done wrong in there. But if I were to show you the to-do list stuff in the to-do list guy, you're actually going to have some individual guys. So if I do get all right here, you can see that there I've got my ID, my text, and all that. So what we do is we actually look at that Swagger and we generate the code for you, give you a native client so that you can just click through using IntelliSense and figure out how to actually reach out and tap into that REST API out on the wire. So that's good. Sorry that particular sample did not work. I've got a few more that I could show off. I'm just not going to waste your time with it right now. So there's that. Now the last thing that I want to show you here is that we have this thing called Azure API Management. And one of the things that has confused folks for a really long time is exactly what you can do with Azure API Management. I'm going to show you real quickly what that looks like. So if you don't have API Management, you've got a developer. The developer has a couple of different user apps they want to build, user app A, user app B, user app C. And they publish the stuff out. So I've got code running in A, code running in B, code running in C, and now my individual apps, they start communicating with these APIs, and I have no idea how many times user A is calling API. So what you lack here is control to these individual apps to get to these APIs, and what you lack is understanding and telemetry as to how these APIs are actually being hit by these applications. So what you do is you drop in this concept of API management, which I've got, an instance setup, and now what you do is you tell all these apps, you just communicate directly with my API management front door, and I'll communicate with these APIs for you pretty easily. Now, I've got an API management instance set up right over here, if I can find it. So here's my API management instance, and what I've done is I've actually created a simple publishing tool, and it's out in the V6 gallery. This is not a part of the stuff that comes in the box. This is a separate thing that you would install. You go to the VS Extensions gallery, you do a quick search for API management ingest tool or something like that, you'll find this and you'll be ready to go and party on it. I've also got a webhooks extension out there that if you're getting into webhooks, you might want to take a peek at as well. So here's my API management instance. And what I've done, let me refresh right here, make sure I'm still logged in. Yes, I am. So what I've done is I've got my, trying to see if I have the API listed out here. I don't think I do. So you see that I have no APIs whatsoever. This is sort of the customer interface for an API management front door. So I own an API management front door, and I might, like Chris might want to access my API, so he would sign up with an account, and he'd be able to go through this stuff. What's interesting is all the new stuff that, I think it's called the Cognitive Services, it used to be called MSR, they have a series of APIs, and all their APIs are actually fronted by API management, as is, I believe, Microsoft Health, the stuff that runs on the band. So we're actually using API management for a lot of the internal services that we've got. But one of the questions that devs have had for a really long time is how they get their APIs directly into API management. If I was logged into the actual API portal, I could show you that what you do is you go in, you say import API, and there's a Swagger URL that you can provide, and it'll actually just suck that stuff in. Now, your code still runs in your Azure API app, but the front door for it is your API management URL, so that you could actually go and you could party on it. So what I'll do here is I'm just going to very quickly go into this. Which one do I want to do it with? Which project did I have open recently where I did this? I'll just go back to this Some Basic API. So we've got the Some Basic API right here, and I'll just do it with this guy. And you'll see that I haven't published this out yet, so I'm just going to do a quick little publish. I'll do app service, click on new. I'll just take all that, take all those defaults, I'll put it there. Put it into that plan. I'll just do a quick create, and that's going to publish that out. And the reason that I want to do this is I'm going to show you how I can actually party on this from directly from within VS. Now, what I wanted to do is to create a tool in Visual Studio that an API app developer such as myself, who has built an API app and published it out to Azure, make it really, really easy without having to go to the portal and create your own APIM instance. No, we got to have an APIM instance, obviously. But without having to go to the APIM portal, which isn't confusing, but it's kind of hard to find where that one little widget is. But I wanted to give customers the ability to do this directly from within Visual Studio. So you'll see that my properties folder, I have a published profiles folder. And inside of that published profiles folder, I have downloaded what's called a PubXML. That has all the connection information so that WebDeploy knows how to push my stuff up to the cloud, all right? What this API ingest tool does is it kind of looks for that file and it sees it and it says, hey, I can tell that he has published this app up to Azure. I know he's already published this app up to Azure, so I'm gonna light up this nice little gesture that makes it easy for him to ingest. Now again, I'll hit refresh here. You'll see that I don't have any APIs out there. If I right-click this guy now, you'll see that I have import into API management right here. Now, before I had done that publish and I had that PubXML, that gesture would have been grayed out. This thing is also available through the Ad Connected Services implementation, but that's kind of what I'm doing it with. So you could actually do right-click, add reference, and go with it, but it doesn't really work in that context. So you'll see that what I've done is I've reached out, and I can see all the individual APIs that I have. And I've got this Some Basic API, blah, 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 right here. It's going to go out. It's going to get me the Swagger. I'll click Next. And you'll see that it says, I see that you only have one API management instance. I know that your customers are in Unlimited, so I'm just going to go ahead and select Unlimited and click Finish. And what that'll do is that'll grab that Swagger and then send it over to the API management instance. And if I go here and I click F5, should see that API light up right there. And if I click on it, then you've got like all the documentation on that API. So let's say you have three different APIs that are in completely different places. You could use API management, put them all behind API management, and then everybody only has one front door URL that they can use. So that's all ready to go. If I were to do this guy, I'd actually have to use that delegating handler, because when you communicate back and forth with API management, you have to have a subscription header that you jam into each request. That's why I wanted to show you the delegating handler stuff, because you can just drop it on there. And I want to show you that real quickly. So I'll try to burn through this in 5 minutes. I'll do file, add new project. Once again, I will do a simple little console app. Once that comes up, I want to right-click my console app, hit add, REST API client, select my Azure asset. I'll say Some Basic API right here. Okay. Pulls it all down. Now I can say I'll do this one more time. Console.readline. And then I'll say, what did I call it? Some Basic. And you see, it actually takes the name of my Azure API app. That could be better. And I'll call this guy client. I'll say new. Boom. And I'll just say var result equal to client dot, what did I call it? Get all. I'll do this, and I'll say for each and result. That's good. Oh, and I'll say console dot write line item. It should be good to go. Oh, I've got the API selected. Sorry. I hit stop here. Set this as my startup project. And I'll just hit F5 real quick. And you should see that it'll say value 1, value 2. So that's how quickly I can use that REST API. Thank you for the applause earlier, sir. To actually reach out and hit my stuff. For whatever reason, that API that I created was a little too squirrely and the swagger freaked out on me. So my apologies for that. But I have already taken this guy and I have jammed it up into API management. So that's not going to work. If I were to try to do this, that's just totally not going to work. So I've got some code over here that I'm just going to pull in for giggles. I'll pull in, I think it's this one. Open with code. A little cheat sheet methodology. So I've got this APIM delegating handler that I have right here. I'm going to copy that guy, paste it here. There's my APIM delegating handler. I got to bring in my references. There we go. I think I got to bring in this one too. So there's all these guys. And you see that each time I want to communicate with an API that's decorated, that's fronted by API management, I'm going to have to give it a key. I'm going to have to give the guy a key because, you know, that's how you communicate with him. And what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to go over here to this guy and I'm going to say, I'm going to go over here to Brady Gaster and go to my profile. See that I can do this, and I can copy. Why I can't just double click it is beyond me. So I've got my string here, and I'll just say, oh, I gotta give it this guy. And now what I would do is I would new up my handler, var handler, new APIM delegating handler, and I'm gonna give it my key here. And when I wanna create an instance of my client to communicate with no longer my direct to my API app guy, but I want to do it directly to my APIM front door, I'm going to use this particular, not that one, this one. I'm going to use this overload, and I'm going to say new URI. And for now, I'll just give it an empty string. And then I will also say handler. I'll go right here. I'll go ahead and click this guy. And now my URI for my APIM front door, if I go over here to unlimited, there's some basic API. If it gives me my root, it does. So it's right here. Select this guy. And now I can paste it here. And this time when I make my request, instead of going directly to my API app, I'm actually going to go to my APIM front door, which will then proxy my request and log the request so that I can see how my APIs are getting hit and by which users. If everything goes well, there you go. So this is an example of how I've hit APIM. APIM is proxied. If I were to go to my APIM portal, you would see that I made a hit. You could see how many different APIs are hit, who's hitting them, what's popular, what's not, what things I probably ought to deprecate, and so on and so forth. So that's it. 2 minutes over. Awesome. Now, I promised, for those of you that are into core, I wanted to show how to do this. Now, what you would do if you're in non-core, literally, is to just very quickly create your web API project. And after you create your web API project, you would just install the swashbuckle NuGet, and you're off and running. It doesn't work as simply as it does that way. Is that not it? That's not the one. It's not as simple when you're doing it with core. Because with core, it doesn't just inject everything on the fly. Plus, the web API stack changed around a little bit. So we had to kind of retool Swashbuckle so that it worked around the new web API functionality. So I'm just going to really quickly show you what that looks like. It's not very intimidating, to be quite frank. If you've already done a lot of stuff with core or you've been in any of the presentations, then you know that life begins at startup CS when it comes to your ASP.NET Core apps. Now, there's going to be two things that you're going to have to do to wire it up. One of them is in your configure services, you're going to turn on Swagger Gen. So you're going to say services.addSwaggerGen. And what that goes is it just says, I need you to add the Swagger service to the runtime so that this guy can party on it and everything is going to work and be cool. The next thing you have to do is in configure, you have to do app.useSwaggerGen. And if you want to use the UI, you would use the, you know, the UI right here. To me, this is a lot cleaner than that Swagger config CS file. I actually prefer this. Now, the reason for the change, as you guys know, there was a point in time where NuGet kind of thought, we're not going to be dropping content files anymore. So for NuGet packages similar to Swashbuckle, which lay down that Swagger config CS, that was no longer going to be an option, because you have to dial everything in with Owen. So this is how you would do this. It's literally three lines of code, and then there's one small gotcha. Okay, the way Swagger works, between Swagger 1.2 and Swagger 2.0, there were a lot of improvements made in the specification. One of the improvements that was made in the specification is they came up with these concepts of produces and consumes. And what you would feed, produce, you're nodding, you must have been stung by this at least once. Has this ever happened to you? Okay, just some other metaphor? Funny text message? Okay. So what the concept of produces and consumes is just like you would send a header up, like I accept application /JSON, you have to kind of provide that to Swagger as well. So what Swagger basically says is it says, if you tell me you're going to send me something, you have to tell me the format in which you're going to send it. And the way you do that is with this consumes attribute. So what consume says is application JSON, application XML, yada, yada, yada. Well, Richie Morris, the guy that wrote Swashbuckle, he's real big on middleware. He loves the middleware approach. I do too. It's fantastic stuff. But he also loves the concept of being able to give people these things called filters. So he's got a couple of different types of filters in Swashbuckle, and this is all documented gratuitously in the Swashbuckle GitHub page. But if you take a look at it, what this is it's an operation filter, and then he's got another one out there that's going to be a document filter. The document filter will actually impact the entire Swagger document based on what you want to do with it. The operation filter will basically tweak the Swagger that gets generated on specific things. Now, I had to add this guy, and then when you want to use that filter, you would actually slam it in right here. Now, if you don't have that, some of the generators, some of the code generators, such as the Scala code generator and, of course, Autorest, the one that I worked with, when it sees that Swagger, it goes, hey, you're telling me that you have a post, and you're telling me that you're going to give me back application JSON, but you're not telling me what you can consume. So this guy basically adds that JSON to the Swagger payload. I'm talking to the guy who wrote Swashbuckle about maybe tweaking this in the future. He's standing his ground pretty fiercely, and what makes it even worse is that the Swagger people are also backing him up. They're saying, this is one of those things that if you don't need it, you need to turn it on explicitly. You need to want to have that control over your API documentation. So this will probably stay the way it is, but I just wanted to point out that if you are going to start partying with core, there's three extra things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do the stuff inside of startup.cs in configure services and in configure. You just have to turn on Swagger and turn on the Swagger UI if you want it. And then the third thing that you're going to have to do is anything that's going to take a post or a put, I believe delete's okay, but definitely post and put, you're going to have to decorate it with a filter like this. And as you can see, the filter is pretty simple. Now, I'm going to have all this in a GitHub repository. I'll be tweeting that GitHub repository out later on. It's probably going to be dev int restful. It's probably what I'm going to call it. And I'll put all of my code out there. It'll have this project. It'll have the to-do sample. I've already shown you where to get CodeParrot. I have a lot of ideas on CodeParrot, so if you think that's a cool idea and you'd like to help me with it, like one of the ideas is I want to give people the ability to log in, hence I was trying to do the identity stuff, give people the ability to log in and contribute code, and then like if you look at Chris's bubble sort and you don't like his bubble sort, you could write your own bubble sort, and then there'll be a ranking page where you can look at all the different bubble sort implementations, and based on the vote, that's the active one that the service will provide. So, you know, I've got some ideas on here around gamifying the samplage. If you're interested in that, I'd love to have your help. You know, feel free to contribute to CodePair or take a look at it or tell me it's a horrific idea and I shouldn't waste my time on it. Sorry, significantly sorry to have burned your time with AV issues. Again, a round of applause to the guy behind the curtain for fixing the issues up. Doing another talk tomorrow on Azure and ASP.NET. If you haven't already gone to Javier Lozano's talk on the topic, I've had a conversation with Javier and I know what he's showing. I'm not going to show any of the stuff that he's showing. I'm going to be showing a bunch of other stuff around caching, CDN, and probably some stuff with SignalR because I like that guy. So hope to see you guys tomorrow, probably about the same time. I don't know if it'll be the same room, but if you're an ASP.NET developer and you're doing stuff on Azure, you want to be there. Thanks a lot. Take care.